Hello and welcome back to Everyone's an Expert with me, Dr. Alex D. This time my guest is Emily Holt. Emily is a tour manager and she is currently on tour with Self Esteem. We speak about how she got into tour management, what tour management entails, how it differs depending on the artist and the size of the tour. We also talk a little bit about how it's different tour managing a headline tour compared to festivals. And we spend quite a lot of time talking about how exciting it is to be working with one of the most significant pop artists of current times. Hope you enjoy listening to my chat with Emily. Coming up now. Emily, welcome to Everyone's an Expert. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
So whereabouts are you?
I am currently in Oxford. I'm on tour at the moment with Self Esteem. We are probably halfway through the tour, I would say, and we are doing the O2 Academy this evening.
Cool. I gather that the itinerary for this is a bit wonky because of how well it sold, right?
Well, yes, it is. We are doing 3 Manchester shows, 3 London shows, 2 Sheffield shows, and none of those are actually all next to each other. So we go back to all of them that many times, which is a bit bonkers.
And like, yeah, I would guess for people that are, for people that aren't away, like that isn't deliberate.
That's not deliberate, no. It would be lovely if we had 3 London shows all in a row, but they're every weekend. But it's exciting actually, because it then means that it's refreshed when you go back. So
sure,
But the tour's interesting because it went on sale 18 months ago, and from that point of going on sale, obviously it sold out, and I think from the artist that she has grown so much in that time that we're possibly in some of the venues are too small, but they're the most fun because their crowd just go wild. So it's been an amazing tour.
Yeah, previous guest on this, Andy, was at the Sage show and was talking on his other podcast. He said he thinks it's possibly the best gig he's ever been to.
Wow.
This is something that I imagine you're probably hearing quite a lot. I mentioned to you, I was working downstairs at the sister venue of the Manchester show. And we finished, we were taking a break from the gig that we were doing. And the audience was coming down the staircase, you know, Albert Hall's, up on the upper level.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating when I say I've seen lots of audiences come down from the gig up there, but there was a different sort of atmosphere. And I mean, obviously I'm aware of it because I follow Self Esteem on social media and I'm a fan myself. So I was kind of aware of the buzz, but I don't know, you could see that there was something different about the show that people had experienced. I don't know whether was that something that you all anticipated? Did you know you had a great show on your hands? Or
I think we knew that we had a great show, and I think the band and the crew have worked so solidly to get where we are, but the reaction has just been incredible. So I started working with Self Esteem at the very start of last summer, and I have to be honest, and she knows this, that when I first started I wasn't aware of her and I didn't know the band. But we did 2 shows, and then my third show with her was Glastonbury, and she did John Peel stage. And from that moment, when I stood on the side of that stage, had no idea what to expect, and she just did the most phenomenal performance, and it went on the TV. And I think from that very point, you could feel that blow. And I've never worked with an artist where that happened. And it was so exciting. And the hype around it from that point onwards was just crazy. And she's grown and grown. And then we got on this tour, and I have to do security briefings with obviously prior to every gig.
Yeah.
And I say this every day, and I'm saying, I can't tell you what the audience is going to be like, because I have never worked a show where you will have 3 70-year-old men next to 2 18-year-old girls. We've just got the most diverse crowd I've ever known, and the range of people that come is just incredible. And And I have had security teams come to me afterwards and be like, they're the nicest audience we've ever known. They're there just to have a good time. And it's amazing, the atmosphere around it. It's I've never known anything like it.
I mean, what do you, because you've we'll get into that, but you've worked on a real diverse variety of shows and tours. Yeah. What do you think it is about this particular? Is it a combination of all things? Is it the way the album has landed with people, the artist herself? I think it's a combination of all these things, but is it to do with the show they put on too?
I mean, the show itself is incredible, and the dancers, and they're so on point, the backing vocalists, every single element is on point. But I think what's so great is Rebecca herself, who is self-esteem, is so relatable. She's so down to earth. She's obviously Sheffield based. She's just got no qualms about her, and she's so passionate about delivering the messages of equality and equal rights and all the things that she fights so hard for. And I think you can see it. I mean, I've never worked at a show where you can have the audience laughing 1 minute and then you have people bawling their eyes out the next minute, and it's insane. But she portrays everything that she wants to, and she works so hard to fight for that. And I think that's why people just are so on board with her.
I think it's remarkable that there's that strength of feeling between her and her audience in what is a relatively short space of time. I mean, I know you've worked with some, I guess what you'd call legacy acts,
yeah,
where you get a different kind of experience, right, of people who have had the music in their lives for 30, 40 years, and that brings a special kind of weight to it. But
yeah,
this, audience response, this sense of communion that there seems to be, and I'm saying this from not having, unfortunately, I've not been to one of the gigs, but this just seems to be third party from a lot of different sources, what people are saying. Yeah. It's remarkable, yeah.
It is.
It must be super exciting to be a part of something that is so culturally significant.
It's so exciting. And I genuinely look forward to every single show, because you just don't know what she's going to say, what she's going to bring. Obviously, they do the same routines and they do the same set list every night. But there's some magic in this show that she just has a character. She has a wicked sense of humor. She's so funny. She's so quick that the other day she was pulling out the audience members and making a joke with them. And the thing is that she can have a joke with one certain member of the audience, but the whole crowd still feel involved. And I think that's something really special as an artist. She's so great, and she deserves every success that she has.
For you, it must be great to feel that way as well. I mean, I know obviously, and we'll get into what it is that a tour manager does, and
sure.
and obviously that can be lots of different things depending on the show and the artist that you're working with. But for you, and I know that you're not going to, you wouldn't come on a podcast and slag off your current your current employer. But I can tell what you're saying is genuine. It must be a great feeling to feel that way about someone that you know it's a tough round the clock job you do while you're on tour. That must
it
make
is.
Your life a lot more enjoyable.
It is. She's so lovely to work for. And it's funny because I'll go around the dressing rooms and she'll be like, are you okay? And it's like, hang on a second, I should be asking you that.
Yeah, right.
She genuinely cares so much about her team. And I think that's what makes my job so easy, is the fact that we have on this tour, especially, an incredible team. I'm so lucky. We are a small team, but we're a mighty team for sure. I mean, there's not one person that lets the side down on this element, and you certainly can't do a tour, a successful tour, without that. So I have to say I'm so incredibly proud of the gang that we have on the road with us.
I'm going to ask what's maybe a slightly clunky question, but do you think it's significant that you're working on a tour that has more female members than male members, which in the industry is that too basic a question?
No, it's not. I am very proud to work on a tour that has a female industry. When I first started out, I worked on a predominantly male crew tour, and And I think having females within the team is so important. It brings a level. Lads on tour certainly have an element about it. And I think as soon as you put a female in that mix, I think a lot of touring personnel will say that the attitudes then change to a much nicer and more enjoyable and probably more conscious group. But we have a female lighting designer on this. We have all varied mixes. And I think it's great for females to be working with, especially when I first started out. You could certainly see it. I mean, as a tour manager now, I haven't come across it in quite a while, but especially at the start, and I was young when I first started out as tour managing as well. So to be able to get not only being female, but also being young, when you're doing security briefings, like I mentioned before, to 60-year-old big burly men, it can be intimidating, and that's not the environment that we want in this industry. But I think there's certainly been a change from when my career first started to now, having females in it, and it's great. And there's obviously always that element of, as the female gets older and all that, do they last in the industry? Like, I hope so. I mean, crikey, we work as hard as all the other men, and I'm certainly proud to be where I am, and I fought hard for it, don't get me wrong. But I think it's great to see females within, especially the crewing side of it. This is what Rebecca talks about. I mean, she fights for, especially festival season, when they are mainly men on a crew in festivals, and you'll get the old timers, and they're always going to, well, for the certainly the next few years, they're always going to be around, and they'll be like, right, she's ready, go, just stick her on. And Rebecca's like, no, hang on a second, you've not asked me if I'm ready. Am I ready to go? And there's definitely got to be that respect, because I think sometimes if you had a boy band or a male artist, there's sort of a different attitude towards them. And sometimes female artists can be thought of as princesses and all the rest of it. But they've worked hard to write that music just as much as everyone else. So they want to portray it as well. You can definitely see the changes within it, which is amazing, because it certainly hasn't always been like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Right. So I'm trying to remember different threads that I want to get at here. So sure. I'll kind of state my intentions. So I think the first thing I want to go back to speak to you about, you know, how your career started and the various things that you've done to get to this point. I'm also really interested in the difference between being a tour manager on a tour where you guys are headlining and tour managing festivals, because as you're alluding, that's a whole different kettle of fish. But before we do that, it's possibly, maybe it's not. If I were to ask you the question, what does it mean being a tour manager? What do you do? What's your role?
Right. I love that question. I think it can vary. A tour management role there's so many different variables, actually. Obviously smaller acts and larger acts especially. So I'm quite enjoying where I am at the minute, in the fact that I'm in a middle range, I would say. Obviously self-esteem has grown, so she's certainly not a small act, where you could be a tour manager driving a splitter van and doing merch and doing wardrobe and everything else. I'm extremely lucky. So I work with 3X, which obviously we'll come on to later. Talking about self-esteem, we don't have a production manager as such at the minute. So my role for tour management would be, from the very start, is when the management will pass me all on all of the dates, I'll then take over everything to do with live. So I will do all of the advancing, and that will be from the very start of talking to either the promoter rep if we're on tour, to the festival director if it's a festival, and making sure that all of the technical side is arranged. But I have to say, my crew massively helped me with that, in the fact that I have an incredible front of house engineer, an incredible monitor engineer, and incredible lighting designer. So we'll all get together and suss out what's needed and required. Then it's the pre-stages.
I've just got to say, that's totally badass that you guys are doing such a big tour. And You're doing both those roles. That's amazing.
Yes, but like I said, the production management is split between all of us. I certainly would not be able to do that on my own. But a production manager certainly helps and would definitely be the next big step for us, because I think next year, hopefully, we'll be looking to do arenas and that sort of element, and upping that side of the production is certainly the next stage for self-esteem, especially.
Yeah.
But also other bands I'm working with, which I can come on to, because one of the other bands, which is Ocean Colour Scene, they are looking at doing like a whole video wall element, which
okay,
not my speciality. So
and it just takes ages as well.
It does.
So I guess the bigger you go, it's not necessarily that you need any extra intellectual space to do that. It's just the actual building the stage takes longer for a stage, exactly. For a production manager in an arena, and video walls take forever, don't they?
Yeah. They do, which is certainly not my forte in background. I've got no clue. But I think that's what I love about this job as well, is the fact that you're never going to know everything. So there's always going to be an element of learning, whether that's technical side or logistical sides or budgeting wise. I mean, I think that's what's incredible, is the fact that, and especially in this industry where technology changes so quickly and so much, you have to keep up to date with all of it. You have to keep on your toes. So that's what I certainly love about the job. But going back to the tour management side, so the pre-advancing is really important. And I think if you were to go into tour management, that's where you need to be probably the most proficient, because on the day you can blag as much as you want, but if you're not prepared, which I've certainly learned the hard way, is the fact that if you take on too much work and you're not ready for it, it's hard, and that's when cracks show. So that pre-budgeting, that pre-advancing, getting all your crew up to date, making sure everyone's on the line is the most important element.
Sure.
I would say as a tour manager, because on the day you can't change what's going to happen. You never know. You're going to get into that venue, and I have turned up into all sorts. So last summer we turned up and the stage wasn't even built and we were playing that evening. So you can do so much, but no matter what, when you turn up, you're never going to be prepared to what could be thrown at you.
I guess, you know, you get there on the day, you've only got the boxes of stuff that you've got and the people that you've got, haven't you? So
for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's also what I love about my role, is that you have to be willing to just go with the flow. You have to be adaptable and problem solve when things happen. And I always think that as a tour manager, my days are realistically, my show days should be, if I've done my job well, easy, because everything from my side should have been done in advance, and it's just a tick box exercise of, is the band happy, have the crew got towels to shower, is their day sheets up, do they know where they're going. So really everything from a tour management side has been done in advance, and you're only there for when the shit hits the fan and there's a problem and being able to pick up those pieces at that point. But hopefully, if you've done your job right, then all of those elements should have been organized, and it shouldn't be from your side that there's an issue.
Sure. I mean, it's such an interesting role, and it's such a kind of all-encompassing role in terms of the skills that are required. How did you get into this in the first place?
I went to LIPA, which is Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts, which Sir Paul McCartney set up, and went and studied music and entertainment management, music theatre and entertainment management, I should say. And from there, you had to do a uni placement. So I went to Tile Yard at King's Cross, and I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure, but Tile Yard had 40 recording studios, I think, at the time. And they'd signed various up-and-coming artists. And I probably was in my second week in the three-month placement. And Charlie, who was a graduate of LIPA, had said, "We've just signed an artist. She's starting out in her career. She's called Ella Rare. Do you want to go on the road and sell merch?" And I was like, "Sure." I was like, "I can sell T-shirts. No problem." I'd never been on a tour bus. I never really knew what touring entailed. I went in it completely blind. And I looking back in hindsight, probably did a terrible job because I had no clue about how to advance merchandise. I had no clue about how to do stock checks or anything. But he threw me into it and said, there you go. And I had the best time and I learned everything on the road. And actually never came off the road. From that point, got offered another tour and another tour, went from selling merch to doing tour management assistant, and then finally going into tour management from there. But it was the best start, and I don't think I would probably have gone into touring if it hadn't have been for that opportunity. So it's amazing where places can take you, because I honestly probably thought I would be going into the theatre element of the
right, okay. But I guess, is that possibly just because that's what you'd seen before?
Possibly. I mean, in all honesty, I went to Lipa to audition to do acting. And thank God I didn't, because I can't sing and I can't dance. And I'm probably a terrible actress. So I don't know what I was thinking. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And then when I was at Lipa, I saw this course for management and I thought, crikey, I'm probably better doing that if I want a career.
Oh, wow. Fate obviously played its hand.
Yeah.
So we met working together on a show called The Classic Rock Show.
We did.
I did that 2 years. Was it 2016?
Yes, I think so. Probably 20.
Oh, yeah, no, I feel like it was the 16. I'm only saying that because I feel like, were we all on it together with James Hayward and Chris Butterworth? It was that year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I love thinking back to that tour, particularly because of you three have all gone on to do such incredible things in the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were all great then, but you were really young, weren't you?
We were extremely young, and I think we could all admit that we absolutely had no clue what we were doing still at that point. And they were the times that we learned, and it's amazing. James and I are still fantastic good friends now.
Well, I see that you and James work together a ton.
We did.
Is that just one of those things that happens because it's a small world, or is that because you?
No, James actually brought me on to, recommended me as a tour manager for the specials, which unfortunately.
Oh, terrible. Yeah. I'm really sorry. I was really sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It was such sad news. But James really kindly brought me on to the specials shows, and he's still as crazy and still as bonkers, and he will be more than happy for me to say that. But we have the best time touring, and he constantly calls me up and I constantly call him up when we need things. And he's such a fantastic character to have around. And I think that's a huge part of touring, is that you need people.
I love James much. I mean, I wasn't particularly experienced in touring when we were working together either, to be honest with you. I'd done a lot of playing, but that kind of thing of being on the tour bus, you know, we're all one big sort of family on the road. That was, it was new to me. And my memory is terrible, but I did the winter tour in 2015, and then we did a couple of weeks in France in November 2015.
Yes.
That was kind of weird, wasn't it? Because it was after those terror attacks in Paris.
Yes.
And, you know, speaking of James, I can't even remember what James's exact role was. It was probably just, it was like general.
I think he was a guitar tech.
Right. Okay. I couldn't remember what his specific role was, but he sort of took it upon himself to, the atmosphere could be a bit weird in some of the venues because we weren't quite sure what we were turning up, and there was a nervousness around playing. And I think I've still got an Ainsley Harriott picture that he, do you remember? He'd just hide them on monitors and things like that.
He is cuckoo.
He is, but he's also really good at what he does as well.
He is incredible at what he does. And I have so much time for him and so much love for him. And I think that's a huge part in making your way in this industry, is the fact that, like I was saying before, James is adaptable. You throw a problem at James and he will come up with something so quick and so great. And I think that's especially why Terry adored him, because he could, if there was ever an atmosphere or any, if there was ever an a tense period, or if people are just exhausted, James walks through the door and you automatically just can't help but laugh. He's just got a character with him that's so funny. He's a great friend, and as much as I hate to admit it, very knowledgeable.
Well, no, that's the thing, is that I look at the gigs that he's been doing, I look at the stuff that he's been doing, I'm like, oh my God, this guy knows his shit.
Yeah.
But if he's anything like he used to be, he wouldn't beat you around the head with that. It'd be about, right, how can I make everybody feel positive?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from James. I hope he doesn't listen to this, because I definitely don't want to admit that to him. But no, I've learned a lot from him, and he's worked with some amazing people, and he's done so well as well, jumping on Weller. I think he's on Chris Brown at the minute. But he works hard. He works so hard, and he cares so much about how he comes across and how he does, and he's just got that team spirit that you cannot learn. You can't install that in people, and that's why James carries himself through so well. Definitely.
So when we did that together, how sort of into your career were you at that point?
I was only a few years in at that point, and certainly very fresh into tour management side. Mm-hmm. In fact, that possibly was the first tour management gig I did. And I, the company that we worked with, CMP, were the very start of my career. So I left Tile Yard and went to a company called Autonomy for a little while. And I did some amazing gigs, and we did a radio tour with Feeder and Tito Jackson. That was
oh, wow. Great.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then CMP came along, and they obviously had Brit Floyd and the Classic Rock Show. And I ended up getting involved with the Rumours of Fleetwood Mac as well. And I left Tile Yard and Autonomy because the touring schedule with CMP was so long, and it's unheard of in this industry, especially to be on the road on a tour for that amount of time.
Yeah.
And I actually stayed with CMP probably on and off for 5-6 years, because the amount of work that they could offer was so vast and so sure. Great, and I had an amazing time with them, and we went to South America, we went to India, the Classic Rock Show, which was an experience in itself. But they themselves are such a great family touring element, and I had an incredible time with them. But because they were a promoter and a management as well, a lot of it I've learned since leaving them, because they were so in-house. So I'd certainly learned all of the
right, elements
within them. Yeah. But then leaving them, especially at the start of last summer, there was just a whole new world opened up with, because they do their venues, but they do the same circuits most of the time and that sort of thing. So to be able to adapt my knowledge now, and I think my first tour from leaving them was the specials with James. So it was great to then be back with him. And I remember actually the first gig that we did, because I wasn't used to having a promoter rep, because CMP promote themselves.
Right, yeah.
So a promoter rep will talk to the venue directly, and then they're sort of the middleman. And I'm going, I need to talk to the venue. I don't know if they've done this. I don't know if they've done that. And we had an incredible promoter rep from DHP called Phil. And James was like, you just need to trust Phil. He can do his job. And I think that was a massive learning thing for me, in the fact that in this industry, you've got to trust your team, if James wasn't there, I think I would have been a nervous wreck.
Well, no, that's a tough one to learn, though, isn't it? Because if you've been used to being the person that the book stops with,
exactly,
there's a part of you that must be thinking, well, I've got a responsibility to,
yeah.
If it's not me, who does it? You know,
exactly.
And it's really good to have a mate there that you trust. You can say, look, yes. No, this is on them. This is okay. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was an incredible experience. And
strikes me that Those sorts of shows, I mean, particularly I have more experience with the classic rock show because I was in that for a bit.
Yeah.
Probably quite a good way to cut your teeth because it's a big level of production, but you're not working with, there's no celebrity element because it's a tribute show.
Yes, exactly.
So I guess, I mean, I do a small tribute show myself that's kind of a cottage industry thing. And it's small in terms of the production level. So I have ended up learning quite a lot of the bits of what you do, but with nowhere near the same level of proficiency. But so I found myself doing the odd security meeting and things like that. So I know what you're talking about, but it's a lot easier to do that if you know that, you don't have a celebrity artist.
That's it.
There's a lot less that needs to be done in that sense, you know.
There is. And CMP were great and I was with them for a long time. And I think what helped me is the fact that it's a completely different atmosphere to go into a show where your management is your promoter. So in hindsight, I was quite lucky because a lot of the tour managers didn't enjoy that because they were used to the big element of a star and which wasn't quite there with the tribute shows. So I saw a lot of tour managers come and go when I was their assistant, and I certainly learned how not to do things, which was great. You could see, you could pick out the bits of elements where tour managers were really great and especially what the tribute artists enjoyed, because I think from carrying that on, they're the small amounts of things that now my artists really appreciate. Like, I know if Rebecca's looking around for something, she's probably looking for a phone charger and you just hand it and she loves that. She knows, she's like, you always know what I'm thinking, but you get so used to your artists. And I think that was it. When I was working with the band for so long, or the bands from CMP for so long, you learn to know what they're after. So you can take those traits to other shows. But it was great, and I loved the tribute show life, and we certainly went to some amazing places with it. It was a great way to learn.
So you mentioned before you're working currently with Self Esteem, Ocean Colour Scene. Is there anyone else that's kind of current?
I have just taken on Becky Hill, which is super exciting.
Hey.
I know. I haven't yet done a show with her. So we've got a summer coming up of festivals, and I am extremely lucky because I only have one day that clashes with Self Esteem and Becky Hill, which is Parklife, which they're both playing.
Oh, mate, come on. How did you manage? How on earth did you manage that?
I don't know how that's aligned.
It's meant to be.
So I'm extremely, I haven't met the touring party yet. I haven't met the crew or the band or anything, but I'm extremely excited to be joining that one as well. And what's lovely is Rebecca and Becky get on really well.
Oh, cool. So, I mean, yeah, that kind of doesn't surprise me because...
Yeah, they're both strong females. And I remember when I hadn't been with Rebecca too long, and we did a Radio 1 Live Lounge and she covered Becky Hill, and it was really great. And then they were sort of tweeting each other and Instagram messaging and whatever else. So,
well, they're kind of both legitimately shit hot as well.
And they are shit hot and they seem amazing. Well, obviously Rebecca haven't obviously worked with Becky, but I'm sure she's incredible. And I'm super excited to be joining that team.
That's another sort of really just music wise as well. And I'll use the V word, vibe wise, super positive as well. I mean, yes. That's going to be a fun. That's a fun show.
It is. So she's got her residency out in Ibiza this summer. So she'll be back flying back and forth, and then we've got a couple of festivals and Glastonbury again, which I'm super excited for.
Oh, amazing!
Yes. So, but I think that'll be really great. And again, it'll be interesting because we've got no production manager on that either. So, I love that. I love the whole learning element of that side of it. So. It'll be exciting.
So, yeah, I mean, the challenge is, you know, you're talking before about how you get ready on a show day when you're on tour.
Yeah.
Which obviously, well, maybe not obviously to some people listening, what that entails is that you've got all day in the venue to get the show ready. So again, it might not be obvious. It may be obvious, but when you're doing a festival, that's very different, right? You've got a very tight turnaround time. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, they're completely different days, and I think I love both. And I actually don't know if I'd be able to pick what I prefer, because like you said, I mean, it's funny that we got into a venue on Self Esteem show. So we load in at 10, which is a lovely time, I have to say. And all of a sudden it's 2.
Yeah, right.
You've got all this time to prep and everything else. But by the time you make sure that the dressing rooms are ready, and I mean, at this current tour, we're doing no press, which is really nice. So no interviews, but sometimes you'll have a Zoom or things like that. So just getting it all prepared. And then by the time you line check and sound check, it's then they need some dinner. And then all of a sudden you've got support acts going on stage, and then it's the show. So your days go so unbelievably quickly. But the festival side of things, which realistically last summer was my first summer of proper festival season, taught me that you cannot control what's going to happen. So obviously all of our summer was on a tour bus, and getting into festivals, as everybody knows if you've been to one, is a nightmare. And there is no secret entrances for artists, so you are in those queues getting into those grounds. And I certainly remember one festival we rocked up and we were 40 minutes before our set, and I was having a nervous
Oh,
it's always good fun. And festival season is just insane. Because as well, even if you've been to that festival before, the layout's changed. So
sure.
As a venue, you know sort of what to expect. You know that you're going to get your rep. You know that you're going to get a dressing room. Whereas you turn up on a field and you've got to go and collect wristbands from God knows where, and the bus can't park anywhere near where you're supposed to be, and having to coordinate. I mean, a festival season, one of my favorite things is the buggies. If you get a buggy, you can go shooting around. But then obviously you've got to trust your band are quite well behaved, because they go wandering into a field and you may not see them, and they're not conscious of time as much as you are. So there's all those sorts of elements, and you've got to be extremely hopeful that you get good food on a festival, because sometimes it's incredible and sometimes it's dreadful. And there's no way of knowing if we'd turn up.
I guess in all those little, they make a big difference to your day, don't they? All those little elements, because it's what kind of tips people's mood over if you're in the middle of a tough run and whatever.
Exactly. And I think festival season, you know to expect that you're going to be stuck in a porta cabin. Like, they're certainly not glamorous as much as everyone says, oh, it's sort of rock and roll. It's definitely not glamorous, no matter what level you're at. Those festival showers are festival showers, no matter what level.
I've got a really specific production question, actually, about the festivals you guys were doing last year, because the screen element with the sort of the changing messages and things was such a huge element. From a person who's generally interested in pop and what various people are doing in pop, when Self Esteem first came on my radar, I think what I'm visualizing is her in front of one of those screens, and that would have always been at a different festival with that changing message each time, because that was so crucial to the performance. I mean, that's another level of how are you managing that?
So
did that just depend on what the spec was at the stage?
My favorite thing about Rebecca is you never know what to expect, and she will come up with an idea that morning of being like, I would like this. So we were super lucky in last minute to get not last minute, because all of them were announced last minute, but we got the support act for Adele at Hyde Park. And it was the morning of the show, and I remember going, I want a backdrop of Don't Fuck Up the Adele Gig. But the guy that does our screen images obviously has what I call a normal job and works Monday to Friday. And I think it was a Saturday. So getting that it's always good fun. But the actual element of, we are very lucky to work with a team that can whack that up pretty quickly. And then it's just sending it over to the festival. But she certainly does come out with some fantastic ideas, and that what she puts on the back of those screens has been some.
I know. Well, it just occurred to me that, you know, you were talking about sometimes that the thing at festivals, people are a bit like, oh, you know, you ready to go on now, love, go on. Whereas it's actually, you want to make sure that those details are super important.
Because it's super important.
That's what fans are responding to. That's where the message is. And you can imagine how, if someone in the chain isn't taking all of those different elements seriously, it doesn't come across in the way that it should.
That's it. I remember we were at the very, because we've only recently, it was probably midway through the summer, started taking a monitor engineer out with us. And the start of the festival season, we were using the in-house monitor engineers. And it was actually my very first festival with self-esteem. And she said, I can't hear anything in my ears. She uses in-ears and she said, I can't hear anything. And the guy on the side of the stage was like, well, it's time to go on. And she's like, I can't go on if I can't hear anything. He's like, well, it's time to go on. You either cut down your set or you, it was literally his attitude. So in that sense, we're now very lucky that I would be lost without both the front of house and monitor engineer. They are so incredibly important to me and I adore them both very, very much. But they work so hard. And that being said, though,
that's a horror show. I mean, like, that's just,
for sure.
Have a bit of professional. The artist can't hear themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a hard and complicated job, but that is the main bit.
Yes, it is. You can't control other people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That is
definitely
the downside. But we're super lucky now that we have an amazing crew. And that for Rebecca is important, as well as the fact that she can look at front of house and she can look at side of stage and see those crew and know that she's being looked after.
I mean, that again is just another thing that's indicative of how meteoric her rise has been, really, because that's really, when you think about how, you know, the sales for this current tour and, you know, going great guns as an artist in terms of public consciousness and public debate and that kind of thing, to think that even last summer the festival season started without a monitor engineer with a really vocal heavy set is wild.
And we have just grown. It's funny because the start of this tour, we were going to go out with just the bus and a trailer. And I was like, we then decided to take out a production. We've got a staircase. So I said, the staircase isn't going to fit in a trailer. So we had this huge discussion about it prior to it, and it came to it, and it was the day before we were due on tour, and we had a last minute rehearsal, and the staircase arrived, and the staircase did not fit. So I ended up hiring a van and a driver to go with the said trailer. And then we got to the first show, which was Nottingham, and we got the lights delivered. And the lights were not going in. There was no chance. So that very first Nottingham show of this, I was calling around all truck companies, desperate for a light truck. So now we are a truck and a bus tour. But it just shows that all of us, I mean, we all knew that it was going to be extremely tight, but to grow all of a sudden from just a bus and a trailer to being a bus and a truck and nothing in between is a huge leap.
Yeah, well, again, that thing that you were talking about, the venues that you're in, I mean, I know Albert Hall quite well. And, you know, it's a lovely space that has a lot of character. This is Albert Hall in Manchester. But, yeah, I think the majority of tours that come through probably will do with a trailer because there's quite a lot in-house there. It's sort of...
Yeah.
It's not... It's way below that arena level where you would expect to bring all of the elements of your production.
Yeah. And you could certainly sense that because we've got the three sold out shows of Hammersmith Apollo in London. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's a vast space. And the difference between doing, for example, Hull, the tiny venue, to doing the Apollo is just drastic. And we are bringing in extra production for the London shows, but it's great and it's super exciting. But it's nice to be able to do such a varied tour because I don't think, or I certainly sort of hope for their element that this will be the last time that I would imagine that next year will certainly be arenas.
Yeah, and that's a whole different kind whole of thing altogether.
Game. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you do notes and colour scene as well.
Oh, they're such great lads. They're really lovely. And what I like is the fact that I don't think I could get any more different from self-esteem and ocean colour scene. They're two completely different scales of all sorts. Obviously, all male band to completely female. We've got a male drummer, but yeah, female. Well,
and made of, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about kind of, what would their big album would have been like, 95, 96, the kind of big, what was it called, Mosley Shoals or something like that? Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're so lovely. They're really great. And they've got some exciting festivals in the summer, and then they always do a tour in December, which is lovely. So it's a nice time of year to have a tour with them. And they're just really sweet. They've got such a dedicated fan base.
Was there a break? Did they stop for a while and then come back when it was, or have they just kind of always, or do you,
they've been on and off, they've always sort of plodded on through. But they're really coming back at the minute. They've got a new manager on board and they've got a new show. They've got, like I said, they've got a new video element to the show. And again, we've built a real core team with that, especially with the crew. It's so, as you can probably tell, I always bang on about the crew because they're important.
Yeah.
And we've got a really strong team there. So they're great. They're lovely to work with.
It's amazing that it's not really a surprise, but there is such a huge audience for some of these 90s bands.
That's it. That's
again, it. I know Lightning Seeds have been doing an awful lot, but it's like their show is growing in spite of the fact that it's not necessarily based around new music. It's quite an interesting touring dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because my monitor engineer on Ocean Colossine is the monitor engineer for Lightning Seeds. So
it's John, right?
Yeah, John, yeah.
I know John, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He is another one of those. He's another character that is just a pure joy. Honestly, he is such a delight to have on the tour bus, and he is full of belly laughs. And
oh yeah, I've not tour- I'd love to tour with John. I really like him.
He is the dream, yeah. He is absolutely brilliant. But like I said, I can say that about every single one of my crew members on all of the tours, because I'm so lucky to be able to have such great teams.
Oh, well, there's a sort of journalistic part of me that would want to dig for dirt, but I don't really want to. I'm glad that that's the truth.
It is the truth. And I actually don't, it was funny because, you know, David Walker Collins?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. He was a big CMP rep, and I thought he was.
Do you know what? I might have met him and not known his surname.
Yes, quite possibly. He often goes as DWC. And I was an assistant for him when I very first started out, and he came last night to our Cambridge show to say hello, and it was really lovely. And I can't remember why I'm telling you this story now. I've gone completely off track.
I think we were talking about just that thing of, I don't know, getting on with people or having a good atmosphere on a tour. Or maybe dishing dirt. I don't know.
Oh, that was it. That was it. So that was it. So my monitor engineer on this, Dean, said to him, "Oh, what dirt can you dish about Emily? There's got to be some wild parties, or there's got to be some drama that you can say." And he was like, "I honestly don't have anything that can be said that's wild and wacky, that's drama filled, because I'm so lucky, and it's probably a bit boring, but to have just enjoyable tours. We don't have, and we were talking about that because we've got no divas within any element of the tours that I work for, to the point that it's a ritual of self-esteem that before she goes on stage, we all gather and like say what we're grateful for. So what's something that's happened in the day, or, you know, just something. And it's just a real lovely feel-good element just before going on stage. And and then they do yoga after the show. There's
come on.
Say.
It's great. Well, I remember when we were doing that Classic Rock Show tour in 2016. Now it's nowhere near on the same level, but you know, we had a really nice touring group that year.
Yeah.
Because I feel like James created a really nice atmosphere. James Cole, who was managing that, and Steve was MD, and then we had Ricardo and Emily. Incredibly talented people, but similar sort of thing. Everyone really bought into an idea of a team. And I remember a rep for another show that was doing a similar. I won't say who. Was doing a similar tour at the same sort of time. So all the same sort of venues, we were kind of following each other around, came to watch the show on a day off. And I think this guy was pretty of the old school and had TM'd and artist liaisoned in the 70s and 80s. And he was talking about the band he was with, an established artist who had a younger band. And he was going, do you know what? They're getting on my tits. They're just making each other tea and being nice to each other. Where's the rock and roll gone? And I just remember thinking, oh, that sounds pretty nice to me.
No
drama, everyone having a nice time, playing the show, and then getting on the bus afterwards.
Yeah, that's it.
There must have been some sense back in the day of it needed to be that, but I'm glad that shows like the one you're currently on are kind of leading the way in terms of the fact that it doesn't need to be that way.
They are. And I think this is so good because obviously we have a great time and we have a laugh but there's a really nice balance. So for example, we set out at the start of this tour, because obviously it's a long tour. I mean, if you're on the road for 5 weeks and you're away from home and it can get strenuous, and obviously they're super long days when you're getting into a venue at 10 a.m. and not leaving till 1 a.m. They're long old days. So we set out and said, we're like, right, we're going to have certain shows that are just going to be sober. They're going to have no alcohol. They're going to just, and it's like created a really lovely atmosphere. But then we'll also do, so for example, like on Sunday, we all went out for a roast dinner together. And do you know what? And when we went to Scotland, we all went out and had haggis and a dinner. And obviously then there's certain days where we have drinks and a fun time. But it's all about that balance. I think it's super important. And I think if it was the other way and there was booze and everything else all the time, that's probably when you do get an unhappy camp, because you're exhausted even more so.
Well, it's one thing that I was wondering about, and you know, forgive me if it's sort of overstepping, but because of how successful this tour's been, but also because of the way that the response seems to have been, it struck me that must be something that you're kind of having to manage is, I don't know, possibly a bit of emotional exhaustion from that, even if it's good things like euphoria, like... has that been more than some people were expecting to have to manage, or do you think you guys are doing a good job of it?
I think that this team especially are very good at communication. So I'll always try and, for example, set, and I learned this, James Hayward taught me this, I learned to like set out a quiet room. So if anyone just needs some time out or needs, because you do, you're around people 24/7, even if you're on a tour bus, you can't avoid them. So I think it's just important to be able to get away. And all of my team on this are extremely good in the fact that Rebecca will take herself to a coffee shop on her own and just sit. She'll just they all do that. But I think also what's nice is the fact that we're all so close, in that there's not one person I wouldn't be able to go out with, just them and myself. And I think, but we had that on Classic Rock Show, I felt as well. And I think it's a key part of a tour is the fact that balance of that relationship has to be strong, because that's where touring parties can fall apart and that's where the struggles can come.
Oh, but, well, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, that's something that you guys are managing, because it's... even if it's for good reasons.
And I've worked on tours where there's been obviously lots of ongoings, but that's when things can come fractious. And I think it's just about managing it as well. And that's part of a tour management role, is the fact that you having a quiet word with people that I always say, like, sometimes it's, if you're on, not this tour, but on certain tours, it's like babysitting 18 adults. That's a,
well, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Tour management's job.
And sometimes, you know, I mean, it sounds like you're in a bit of a remarkable situation with a self-esteem gig, but sometimes what it is that makes someone a special artist, I guess, comes from like a level of dysfunction. Sounds really a little judgy, but like, I don't know. Yeah. Comes from someone, you know, being an unusual person. Then
that's it.
You have to, I guess a part of your job is that you have to work out a way of
dealing with it,
yeah. helping everyone do, you know, do the show and get on. And
yeah, exactly. And I've certainly always had, the challenges are part of the fun, I have to say. I remember once, and I won't name names, but I was going across the Canadian border and I knew that the group I was with were mischievous. So I just said, look, I was like, make sure that there's nothing on you. Just, I don't want to know. I just make sure that you're all well behaved. Don't have too much to drink before we get to the border. Don't say anything that you shouldn't say. Get rid of everything that you shouldn't have on you. Blah, 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 blah. And we did the border and thankfully everything was absolutely fine. And then got over across back into America and they just opened the tour bus bin and pulled out a load of weed. And we're like, I was like, what have you done? You were like, you said get rid of it. I was like, not in the tour bus bin. So I've certainly had instances where I should have probably stipulated, don't get rid of it on the, like, get it rid of it off the bus.
But again, it's one you can only learn from experience, I guess.
Exactly. So yeah, it is dealing with people and knowing how to and being able to talk to them as well.
Oh, Emily, thank you so much. I've had a great time catching up with you, and I'm so appreciative of the fact that you would give me so much of your time on a show day as well.
Oh no.
Yeah, I can't believe it, really. So yeah, thank you very much.
No, thanks for having me.
So that was my chat with Emily. I'm really grateful to her, as I said, for her time on a really busy day. What a great insight into a fascinating job. Hopefully you'll check out another one of these. If you're new to the podcast, please do check out previous episodes where I speak to interesting people in music or interesting people about music. And there's plenty more to come. So look out for future episodes. Until then, I'll speak to you soon. Cheers. Bye now.